commenting about Georgia. They're that close. Trump was scheduled to join dozens of world leaders Sunday at a ceremony in the shadow of the Arc de Triomphe, marking Armistice Day. He actually delivered remarks at an American cemetery and memorial on that day, and more happened. Now, your liberal friends are making a fuss about all of this. He did show up and do what he was supposed to do yesterday because weather was not an issue. Something else that also was not an issue was traffic. And that is one of the reasons that President Trump didn't make that trip by motorcade. You know what it's like when a motorcade, you ask anybody who lives in D.C. what it's like when the president cannot take his helicopter and has to go by ground travel. It locks everything up. And you consider the fact that that's going to happen and it's going to be last minute. And then you have a good idea of what actually was going on there. Now, this is the statement that came from Sarah Sanders about this incident. She says, yesterday, because of near-zero visibility, Marine One was unable to fly, as had been planned. A car ride of 2.5 hours each way would have required closures to substantial portions of Paris roadways for the president's motorcade on short notice. President Trump did not want to cause that kind of unexpected disruption to the city and its people. He was honored to be able to attend today's event at the Choisnes American Cemetery and was deeply moved by the sacrifices of so many for the cause of freedom. So, you see, he did make it yesterday to the second event, the cemetery event, but he didn't make it on Saturday because, one, weather. And as I said before, the Secret Service makes that determination. They're charged with the safety of the president. So they made that determination. And then the other option was ground travel. And Sarah Sanders says that President Trump was taking responsibility for that. He didn't want to cause that kind of unexpected disruption to the city and its people. I actually think that's him taking the heat for something that he really had no choice in. I think that's the buck stopping with President Trump, because he seems to do that. Something we weren't accustomed to over the past 8 years, of someone who blamed Bush for everything that went wrong. Well, you're seeing all these photos that your liberal friends have been posting of Obama in the rain, hugging people, shaking hands, making speeches. And that supposedly makes him superior to Trump. But they're ignoring some key points here. As I've already mentioned, the president does not make the call on his transportation. The Secret Service does that. They canceled the chopper, and I believe they didn't allow ground transport for safety reasons. If you have paid attention to the international scene, what's happening in Europe, you know that France is not a safe place. There are places in Paris that even the police don't go anymore because of Islamic terrorism. They just don't go. In order to keep the peace, they just don't go there and enforce the law. They just don't. There are places that are just not safe. There are people in Europe that would not think twice about killing our president. So I believe the Secret Service made the call on ground transportation. I think that was the case. And I think President Trump is just saying, hey, I just didn't want that to happen. If the Secret Service disallowed ground travel, they had a valid reason. You and I don't hear about the death threats that the president receives because the progressive press doesn't, they're just not interested in that. They don't care about that. If it was a Democrat, you would hear stories every day. But because it is President Trump and they believe that he is evil, they don't care if people are threatening to kill him. Well, no doubt the threat level is very high in Europe because the progressive government has allowed this Islamic influx. Ground travel was probably, on top of being inconvenient for everybody, was probably too risky. So those are things you have to consider. Things you're not getting in the press. And as long as we're talking about photographs and about your liberal friends talking about their beloved Barack Obama, we need to remember a photograph. And if you're on Facebook Live, you can look at your screen and see the one I'm talking about. As Obama didn't always stand in the rain to prove his superiority. He proved his superiority in other ways. In one incident, he actually had Marines hold umbrellas while he spoke. And a lot of people were insulted by that. A lot of people took umbrage with the fact that he basically used uniformed Marines as props in a speech and stooped so low as to hold his umbrella because it was so vitally important that he stand there and talk and be able to use both of his hands to gesture when he very easily could have used one. He's standing at a podium, microphones mounted on the podium. He didn't even have to hold a mic. He could have held an umbrella. But no, he demeaned a man who's dedicated his life to protecting our country by treating him like a butler, holding his umbrella to keep him dry in the rain. So remember that when your sweet friends on the progressive side start telling you Trump just doesn't care about anybody. He just didn't want to get wet, didn't want to get that hair wet. He's going to melt in the rain. You just remember that. When it was convenient and drove things forward for Obama, he got wet. It was all about the optics for him. And we're much, much better off without the man. Still to come, things about Florida as the Daily Perspective continues. I miss that sale every time. Welcome into the Daily Perspective. I'm Mark Congleton. Glad you're along today. And I did check. We are live on the web stream, too. And I have news about the web stream coming up in just a couple of seconds. We love hearing from you. You can get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Mark and Mac Show or Daily Perspective, either way. You can also correspond through the websites, markandmacshow.com and markcongleton.com. There are contact links there. You can click on them. Tell us what you're thinking. It's that simple. And if you'd like to direct email me, you can do that as well. It's mark@markcongleton.com. That's the best way. That is the best way. mark@markcongleton.com. That goes right through my website, straight into my inbox. That's how you get in touch with me. As for the web feed, I've been looking at the stats on the web feed, and it's I think we've got one guy in Colorado, one person in Colorado, by the way, hello Colorado, who listens faithfully on the web stream every day. And the thing is, the reason that there's just that's all that's happening is because this show is not on a local radio station, and people aren't listening on their cell phone, so they can plug in their earphones and listen wherever they are, or when they get out of the range of a radio station or whatever. So if the Mark and Mac Show was actually back up and running again live on a local radio station, then the web stream would make perfect sense because it would give people an option to listen wherever they are as the show happens, and then through for the repeats. But that's just not the scenario right now. What's happening right now is that we have a web only show, and I'm here keeping the light on, doing the Daily Perspective, and as a result, you don't have that terrestrial base of listeners to work with. So that was a big word, I know, but the thing is that We have people dropping in from foreign countries. We have people dropping in from all over the world, really, and listening for a few seconds here, a few seconds there, just to find out what's going on. And when they find out, oh, it's political. Oh, it's pro-Trump. Oh, it's in the, that's it. That's the extent of it. They tune back out again. It's been exciting to see people dropping in from all over the world, but that's all they're doing is dropping in and checking it out, and then they don't come back. And so we're not actually doing a real service to a sizable number of people having the web stream active. So, and because it costs us to do, it costs me personally to do that every month, I've been paying a bill since we were on the VOK AM in Oxford, Alabama. I've been paying the bill for it because they didn't have a web feed, so I established one because we needed that for the show, because the coverage of the station was basically as far as you could throw a rock from the studio. So we did that. We made that decision at the time, and I thought, you know, I'm getting paid for it, might as well. I'll just shell out a few dollars a month and take care of it. And that's not happening anymore, so it's gone. As of Thursday, the web feed, if you're listening on the web feed in Colorado, once again, hi and thanks. It's gone as of Thursday. The 15th will be the final day, and then it'll be gone. So I hate to do that, but, you know, why keep paying out that money every month for, you know, basically to send it to somebody? I mean, by the way, in Colorado, if you'd like to pay the bill for it to listen to it, email me and we'll make arrangements. Otherwise, bye-bye. You're going to have to go to Facebook Live or just listen to the podcast version of the show. So that's what you'll have to do as of Friday. It just won't be there anymore. Okay. All right. Let's go back to Raingate and take a look at what's happening. Somebody else, we're going to move along to Florida here in just a moment, but first up, Ben Rhodes, senior aide to President Obama, outspoken Trump hater. In response to the White House's cancellation, Rhodes claimed that Trump's predecessor would have made sure his team had a plan for bad weather. He tweeted, following a post by David Frum, who's a political commentator and author of Trumpocracy, the Corruption of the American Republic, who said two words, contingency plans. Previous White House has made them. Really? Rhodes agreed, citing his experience in helping plan all of President Obama's trips for 8 years as proof. He says, I helped plan all of President Obama's trips for 8 years. There's always a rain option. Always. Let's get something straight here. Ben Rhodes is not on the inside. Neither is David Frum. Neither of them are in this administration. Neither of them are privy to the information which precipitated the decision by the Secret Service to ground the helicopter. Neither of them. The people who did make it to this cemetery for this ceremony did not require a motorcade. They didn't have the same requirements as the president, the same sort of security requirements. That's why they were there and he was not. So when your deplorable friends, your deplorables, we're the deplorables. I keep forgetting that. When your friends on the progressive side are texting their little proofs and expressing their hatred, remember that everybody who's saying, oh yeah, well, there are always contingency plans, none of those people are actually working in this administration. And if, I'll guarantee you this, I will guarantee, this is a guarantee, you can engrave it into your desk. None of those photos of Obama in the rain would exist if any of those scenarios had put Obama in danger. If any of those situations had been dangerous, Barack Hussein Obama would not have been there, because the Secret Service would have prevented him from being there. They would have prevented him from traveling if the travel was dangerous, whether it be on the ground or in the air. They would have prevented him from walking It's their job to protect the president. So if any of those rain photo ops Obama made had been in a dangerous situation, he would not have been there for those photos. Just remember that when your friends are trying to shame you for being behind this president. And there's plenty that they can shame us for. They have, it doesn't matter. You know, you've probably seen this on social media. It's a meme that's been run around many, many times in various forms. And that is that if Trump found a cure for cancer, the left would condemn him for it. It's absolutely true, by the way. Well, he's promised now to keep a close eye on the recount process in Florida. And of course, the condemnation will be flowing thickly. The Secretary of State there announced a recount of votes for the Senate and governor's races. Since the polls closed Tuesday evening, all eyes have been on Florida. On Election Day, it looked like Republican Senate candidate Rick Scott and Republican gubernatorial candidate Ron DeSantis had their elections locked up. In fact, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum even conceded his race. Now, after several votes rolled in from it was just Gillum who conceded. The senator didn't. He did not. Nelson, he did not. Because he is seasoned. He knows how this works. He knows the Democrats are scheming. And he knows he's not going to concede until they discover the last box of mysteriously found ballots. Now, after several votes rolled in from Broward County under a veil of secrecy, the races are much closer. Broward County is the second most populous county in that state. And the fishiness just keeps getting deeper and deeper there. We'll get back to this after the break, but there is going to be a recount now, which I believe is what the Democrats wanted. They just wanted to buy it enough time to find enough fraudulent votes to toss into that recount so that it sways in their favor. We've seen this happen again and again, and we're pretty familiar with how they work. So there's a lot to watch there. We'll get back to this after the break. And more about Florida, Georgia, and Arizona here on The Daily Perspective. You are listening to The Daily Perspective with little old me, your not-so-humble host, Mark Congleton. Glad to have you along, by the way. And thanks to those of you who have signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. You guys are getting the inside track on the show. You found out about what's happening with the web feed over the weekend, in fact. And like I told you, as soon as I heard anything, I would make it public. And I heard something back that evening after I sent that email out. So actually, it was the following morning, but I had to make that decision and had to wait for confirmation from the web stream provider. And they said, we get it. We understand. Thanks a lot. And so I'm paid up through the 15th, and that's when it'll stop. But anyway, if you're a subscriber to the Daily Perspective newsletter, you get the show notes of each day's program. You get you don't have to go online and dig them out. That's not all that hard, but it's a lot easier if you get them delivered right to your inbox. And that's what happens. You get the daily show notes delivered direct to your inbox every day. And you get more than what I post online. You get the stories I didn't get to. And from time to time, you get little observations and quips and thoughts about the stories, because I do make notes sometimes under the show links to remind myself, hey, don't forget to make this point, that point, and whatever. And I include all of that. All you get is the links online. You get everything on the newsletter. Plus, from time to time, something will cross my sometimes fertile brain, and I'll start typing, and it becomes a newsletter, and you get that as well. So subscribe today. You can very easily do so. Just go to our Facebook pages, go to the Mark and Max Show page or the Daily Perspective page, and there is a button for getting signed up. So sign up today and become part of the ever-growing family that's getting the Daily Perspective newsletter. All right? All right. Back to the election situation here. We were talking about this. I'll get back to that story. But earlier this morning, President Trump tweeted, the Florida election should be called in favor of Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis in that large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere. And many ballots are missing or forged. An honest vote count is no longer possible. Ballots massively infected. Must go with election night. And that's what the president is saying. And we have seen the stories. We have seen the stories. There are people who have been standing around with their cell phones and shooting video of trucks coming and going, ballots being loaded in and out, secretive things happening. In Palm Beach County, the director of elections there, the person responsible there, banned the press, no cameras. So there's some very, very fishy stuff going on. Very, very fishy stuff. Brenda Snipes in Broward County, she's been, in the past, she's been found guilty of destroying ballots. She actually burned Republican ballots in a bathroom, from what I understand. And this woman is still in charge of things in Broward County? Still? Wow. Just wow. That's all I can say. Okay, back to the story we were talking about a while ago. This is a story from Independent Journal Review. After several votes rolled in from Broward County under a veil of secrecy, the races became much closer. Broward County is the second most populous county in the state. Before Florida's Secretary of State called for the machine recount, President Trump had already unleashed on Broward County, calling it an embarrassment. And there's a series of tweets here. He claimed that both Democrats had conceded, which was incorrect because only Gillum conceded on election night. But that distinction wouldn't make a difference because concessions are not binding in any way. I mean, you can concede an election. If it turns over, you're still win. Yeah, and the votes turn out that you win, you still win, right? So Rick Scott was up by 50,000 votes on election day. This is one of the Trump tweets. Now they found many votes, and he's only up by 15,000 votes. The Broward effect. How come they never find Republican votes? The next one, Mayor Gillum conceded on election day, and now Broward County has put him back into play. Bill Nelson conceded election, and this is where he's wrong. Now he's back in play. This is an embarrassment to our country and to democracy. And then finally, he says, in the 2016 election, I was winning by so much in Florida that Broward County, which was very late with vote tabulation and probably getting ready to do a number, couldn't do it because not enough people live in Broward for them to falsify a victory. Well, now all the votes in Florida will have to be recounted via machines. In the Senate race, incumbent Democratic Senator Bill Nelson trailed Scott by around 12,000 votes. That's 0.15%. As for the governor's race, DeSantis has a more comfortable lead over Gillum. That's around 33,700 votes, 0.41%. Still, a lot of Republicans have been outraged by the lack of transparency by Broward County since the polls closed. Senator Marco Rubio being the loudest critic, as I told you earlier. One of his tweets, well, here's a handful of his tweets. Here we go. Many of the same people in media and commentary class who are always warning about threats to our democracy are excusing or deflecting attention from the blatant lawlessness in Broward and Palm Beach, undermining the credibility of public confidence in our elections. If a red county did what Broward County and Palm Beach County are doing, they would march in the streets and confront Republicans about it in restaurants. But because it's happening in a blue county, they create increasingly novel and creative arguments to justify it. Wow. Another one. You want more lawlessness? Broward County elections opened 208 provisional ballots without canvassing board's approval, as required by law. After admitting error, submitted them to the board, which found at least 12 are invalid. Guess what? They're going to count all 208 of them anyway. So they found a dozen ballots that were not valid. And what happened was Brenda Snipes included those. She put them in with the valid votes. And because there aren't names or anything on them now, once they've been pulled out of envelopes and the like, they can't tell them apart. They don't know if they're valid or not. So they're mixed in with this group of 208. Do you think that was an accident? No, I don't think so. More tweets from Donald Trump. Thank you, Marco Rubio, for helping expose the potential corruption going on with respect to election theft in Broward and Palm Beach counties. The world is now watching closely. He goes on, trying to steal two big elections in Florida. We're watching closely. And then Gillum, who could benefit from this, welcomes the recount. And he bashed Trump and demands that every vote be counted, even though he made it his non-binding concession on Tuesday night. He said, what's embarrassing to democracy is not counting every vote, and you, of course. Let me clarify something here. Your progressive friends will say they just want to count every vote, and Donald Trump doesn't want every vote counted. The Republicans don't want every vote counted. They just want to count every vote. This is what your progressive friends are saying, isn't it? Yes, I see you nodding. That is what they're saying. Well, they just want every vote counted. That's fair. Why don't they want it to be fair? Every vote should be counted. Every legal vote should be counted. If a vote is illegal, for any reason, if it doesn't qualify, for any reason, it should be excluded. I would go so far as to say if we find that someone has voted multiple times, all of their votes should be excluded. And we have seen this happen. So when your progressive, liberal, leftist friends try to shame you and say, well, don't you want all the votes? Everybody's vote counts. Don't you want them all counted? You, being a decent, honest person, will say, yes, we want all the votes counted. And they'll counter with, well, then your president doesn't want that. And that's not true. That's a misrepresentation. As an honest, right-thinking person, you know that you want every legal vote counted. Legal. That's what you want. You don't want fraudulent votes, votes by illegal immigrants. You do not want the votes of people who have registered under the name of a dead person to have their vote counted. And this happens across the country. And oddly enough, every time it happens, those votes are Democrat votes. We've been watching this pattern for decades upon decades, for a long, long time. And the result is always the same. The people behind it are trying to get Democrats into office by hook or crook. Because when it comes to the Democrat Party, it's not about the people. It's about the power. The power and control. And if you don't believe that, take a look at what Maxine Waters and others on the Democrat Party side are saying that they're going to do as soon as they get into position in January. They're going to wield their power to start undermining everything that's been done for the last 2 years. They're going to wield their power and their control to impeach Brett Kavanaugh. They're going to wield their power and control and attempt impeachment of our president. They're going to wield their power and control for revenge. So it is all about power and control. That's what it's about. You and I, we're just there to give them the votes they need to get that power. And they will lie to us in any way they need to in order to get that power. That's something you need to remember. More to come after the break as The Daily Perspective continues. This is The Daily Perspective with little old me, Mark Congleton. Good to have you along today. Earlier this morning on our social media, I posted a link to an article in American Thinker that I think it's very important and I firmly think you should read. And it's called The Common Thread in All Those Florida Election Debacles. And if you don't, go look it up. You don't have to scroll down very far. I posted a couple of pictures, funny stuff, and after I did this, but it's there. And I'm actually right now I'm doing the copy and paste on the on the link to put it in the show notes, because it just hit me. You know, that's important. That's really important. We need to be aware of what's going on. And this is a good history on things in Florida even before Brenda Snipes ran elections in Broward County. So let's. That's your homework today. I want you to read this article and educate yourself, because you need to be aware of what's actually going on and the skullduggery, the shenanigans that are happening in Florida and around the country, because we've got a group of people here whose primary concern is not you, it's power. And they will do anything for that power. So please, take a look. I mean, the history goes back. It goes back a long way. In more recent history, you may remember in 2000, in that showdown between Bush and Al Gore. Al Gore, the world is melting. There was a recount. And Democrats insisted that new votes could be found in Palm Beach and Broward counties. This is in the year 2000, among other Democrat strongholds in the state. They were the two key counties. And Gore said during that time, he said, "I'm not like George Bush. If he wins or loses, life goes on. I'll do anything to win." And that's how Andrew Gillum is today. And you may remember that during that time, there were some votes, legitimate votes, which needed to be counted. Our military's votes. Our military who were out of pocket overseas. There was a little bit of a snafu. They were going to arrive kind of late. But the provisions had been made. And the Democrats wanted to exclude the military vote from the count, because they knew it would be predominantly Republican. Our men and women in the armed services who are protecting liberty around the world, the Democrats wanted to disallow their vote. So this is the power. This is the lust we're talking about. Go read the article. I'll make sure it's in our show notes today. So when they post here in just a little while after the show, it's there. Hey, can I change directions here real quick, because honestly, I'm getting sick of all this. And if you follow like home improvement television and the like, you're familiar with Chip and Joanna Gaines. They had the show Fixer Upper for several years, and they were just insanely popular, still are. In fact, if you go over to HGTV a lot of days, you'll see back-to-back, show after show after show after show. They marathon their shows. They fill tons of airtime on that channel with Chip and Joanna Gaines. And they decided, with baby number 5 on the way, that they were going to step out of the limelight. Time to step aside. So busy, crazy busy, crazy busy, 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 busy. We have a family. We have, you know, got a farm, got business, got all this stuff going on. Crazy busy, and their work, God, they've made Waco, Texas a tourist attraction again. People are going to Waco just to see what they've done there. Well, they're in talks with Discovery Networks. Chip and Joanna are going to have their own channel. They're going to have their own home improvement network. So they thought they were busy before. Wow. I don't know if they're going to have a show, because the article doesn't say so, but they're going to have their own home improvement network, family-friendly, great shows, and that should be interesting. So you haven't seen the last of Chip and Joanna Gaines. You haven't. I just wanted to drop that in there because, frankly, I needed a break. Well, the media is dismissing the Florida election misconduct as a conservative conspiracy theory. You may be seeing this from your liberal friends. I mean, they're just throwing this crap out there because you can't win. No. The establishment media is dismissing the election scandal in Florida as a conservative conspiracy theory, but the evidence indicates something strange is afoot. Republican Governor Rick Scott beat incumbent Democrat Senator Bill Nelson for the state's open Senate seat. Days after the election, though, election supervisors in Broward and Palm Beach counties were still adding votes to the tally. The supervisors refused to share where the additional ballots were coming from, how many were left to count, and that led Republicans to cry foul in the state. The media swiftly rebuked Republican concerns of potential fraud or misconduct as conspiracy theories cooked up to deny Democrats the election. Will Sommer of the Daily Beast wrote, quote, Republican and internet conspiracy theorists are freaking out as new ballots threaten their Florida Senate win. Just to be clear, these, quote, new ballots, end quote, suddenly appeared after the deadline when everything had to be submitted. In Politico, They said Trump, without evidence, accuses Democrats of election theft in the Florida Senate race. Quote, Republican, end quote, strategist and CNN contributor Anna Navarro. She's about as Republican as my dog. She wrote on Twitter, some folks in Florida need to lay off the Cuban coffee. Stop spreading conspiracy theories and let the process play out. Anna, the process is a legal process, and there are laws governing a legal process. And when those laws are ignored, it is no longer a legal process. Vox, the home of mentally challenged political thinking, has alleged that Republicans are only upset with the process because Democrats are counting all the votes cast in the Florida Senate race. See, that's what I was talking about. Don't you want all the votes cast? Yes, all the legal votes. Let's see, where is this Ross story? Ross story says, Rick Scott launches voter fraud lawsuit based on conspiracy claim that ragtime liberals are stealing Florida Senate election. No, it's not a conspiracy. Not when the press is locked out of a public event of counting the vote. It's public. Anybody should be able to observe. But in Palm Beach County, no, you can't. Sorry, you're with the media, you have to leave. Yes, that does smell fishy. Despite the media's dismissal, Republicans have already proved that election supervisors in the deep blue counties of Broward and Palm Beach are acting improperly. Governor Scott filed two lawsuits on Thursday, alleging that Palm Beach County Election Supervisor Susan Butcher and Broward County Election Supervisor Brenda Snipes were breaking Florida election law. A judge ruled in favor of Scott in both cases, ordering Butcher to submit overvoted and undervoted absentee ballots for public review and ordering Snipes to hand over voter information. Neither of them had compiled and complied with the court order by the 7 p.m. deadline on Friday night. Neither one of them. Meanwhile, the Miami Herald reported late Friday night that Snipes had accidentally mixed bad provisional ballots with good ones, making it nearly impossible to determine which of those votes should be counted. I mentioned that earlier. So, there's a lot of shenanigans going on in Florida. Same thing. I didn't get to Georgia. There's the same kind of thing happening. All of a sudden, they're finding votes, and magically, they're benefiting the Democrat. And there seems to be something going on in Arizona as well. Remember, as I said earlier, when it comes to political power, the Democrats only use people to access it. They make all these claims about caring, about compassion. They make all these claims about being there for the people when, in fact, they're there for the power. We'll look more at this tomorrow because it's a story that's not going to end. God bless you. Have a great day. What's left of it. I'm Mark Congleton. This is the Daily Perspective.